You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Sam, I'm on their website right now, but can you repeat what you just heard on Channel 9's newscast, please?
Yeah.
Because the story is not cleared on their webpage.
Dan, I do apologize. I was not listening to a word that you said. I was watching KMBC 9 News, where I was informed that Jackson County has officially approved rolling back the illegally increased assessments from 2022. You follow me?
Yes, but that would mean all kinds of municipalities / schools are going to have to give money back, right?
As Frank White and the county legislature has said multiple times, the money has already been spent. The KMBC 9 News story detailed that Kansas City Public Schools alone is set to lose $38.5 million.
So, maybe we need to wait a little bit longer until this story clears and we can read it. Does that mean that but here's my question. Does that mean that they have to pay it back $35 million? Or do they have to adjust their upcoming budget to be $35 million less than it has been in the last couple of years because they're not going to be getting that much money?
Of course, as you mentioned, the story is not cleared, so those details are not right in front of me.
Yeah.
But just based on logic and following this process as we have, I would assume that means it is the upcoming year's budget.
Yeah,
they're going to be
they don't have the money to cut the check.
Yeah,
but here's, and I know that I'm not asking this question facetiously because it is government, and if you give government money, they will find a way to spend it. Why wouldn't you know? For example, you know, this tax assessment, property assessment debacle, which it has been nothing short of a debacle. I think we can all agree to that, except maybe Frank White, who, by the way, should be recalled. And I like him, and he's always been a nice man to me, but he has done just a horrifically poor job with this controversy. Wouldn't the school districts, for example, Independence, Kansas City, Missouri, Lee's Summit, Blue Springs, you name it, in Jackson County, when they get this windfall of new money that they didn't even place into their budget, are they just sitting around going, looky there, we got $35 million we didn't think we were going to get.
Should we maybe hold on to this?
Maybe
this is like when you log on your bank account and you don't even know why there's an extra $1,000 in there and you don't really want to know, but you kind of think I probably shouldn't go out and spend it because I'm not real sure that belongs to me.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you put all that in a rainy day fund? We'll come back to that here in just a little bit because I see that Carrie Emmert is calling in.
Before we get to her, real quick, we have a Kansas resident that has just been charged with assaulting a flight attendant on a flight from Connecticut to Chicago. The news release was just issued by the Department of Justice. The FBI is investigating this. Huh. Guy is from Wichita. 30 minutes into the flight on yesterday, 27th, was an American airline flight. Around 9:30 p.m., he stood up, began to take off his shirt, ran to the back of the plane.
He's sober.
And started screaming, "Help me." He then grabbed a flight attendant and shouted, "You're coming with me," and forcefully brought the victim to the ground. He then attempted to drag the victim up the aisle. Passengers then got up and went full Richard Marx on him.
Okay.
And the captain declared an emergency landing. I think he's facing 20 years in prison.
Probably. And at least one night in a jail cell to sober up. Airline passengers in Turkey who unbuckle their seatbelts, access overhead compartments, or occupy the aisle before their plane has fully stopped now face fines under new regulations issued by the country's Civil Aviation Authority. The fine, by the way, will be $70 if you disregard these regulations.
$70?
$70. This is not just Turkish Air. This is any airline that lands in the nation of Turkey. If you unbuckle your seatbelt, stand up, try to get into the overhead bins, you face a fine of $70. Carrie Emmert, good friend of the program, and Dana's childhood best friend, joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Hello, Carrie.
Greetings, friends. How are you?
Hello, our favorite producer that calls in from places far and away.
Tells us
interesting stories about your travels. I cannot believe you were just telling me about this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember where you were. That people were randomly standing up after the plane landed, but way before it's at the gate and the seatbelt sign comes off.
Yeah. That incident was shocking. They were like, and it wasn't just one person. I mean, you'll occasionally get the like renegade person that gets up when they shouldn't, like right before you get to the gate, like when the plane really slows down. But no, this was like five or six people, and they were just like full up in the aisle, like grabbing their bags, no big deal. And I was shocked.
Well, they're more important than you, and their time is more valuable than yours, and that's why they had to do that.
Clearly.
That's to me when the flight attendants go, "Sir, sit down." That's when you get the mom voice from the flight attendants.
Yeah, the flight attendants were not messing around. Like, you are in big trouble. And my mom was a flight attendant, so you know I wasn't unbuckling my seatbelt. No way.
You don't mess with Carol.
Mom would have some words.
No, ma'am.
She flew back when those flight attendants had to weigh once a week and they had smoke blown in their face.
That's right.
By the way, and you'll appreciate this, Carrie, as often as you travel, and this is my biggest pet peeve on a flight. Passengers will be reminded to wait for those in front of them to exit first instead of rushing forward.
Oh, no, they don't remind people, and people are so rude and, like, start dashing towards the front of the plane. Nothing chaps me more. Oh,
well,
so rude.
You'll appreciate this. On my last flight, and I told this story to Dana, and I think I shared it on the air, we were in the second to last row. It was me in the window seat, T in the middle, and another guy in the aisle seat. And there were two young adult, I think they were brothers, who were behind us in the very last row. Okay? And, they did what everybody hates. They jumped up and they started making their way up the aisle once the seatbelt light turned off. The guy sitting in our aisle said, "Hey guys, there's airline protocol. You're supposed to wait until we all go before you."
Yep.
They said, "Our mom and dad are up front. We're trying to get up front." Well, you know they're not going to get up front. They ended up getting off of that plane about 1 minute before we did. But they were standing at the entrance into the airport, and one of them was barking at the other. They had left their passport in the back seat.
Karma.
That's right. Karma is quick, and she has a vengeance. Serves you right.
You're all going to the same place.
I know.
What does it matter?
To go stand there and stare at each other at the baggage carousel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm telling you guys, I just flew to and from Ireland.
Bragger.
Flying right now is lame.
What do you mean?
I don't recommend it. It's difficult. I mean, it took me, I started my alarm on my phone when we left the place we were staying in Ireland. It took us 39 hours and 32 minutes to get home.
Scott, she showed me the ticker, and I'm like, you shouldn't even be driving. Like, I was worried about your safety. You were so tired.
Why did it take 39 hours to get home from Ireland?
Well, we flew in and out of Shannon, which is not the largest airport, but we did have, I think it was a 3.5 layover in London, but this was the kicker. So we got to Chicago, and it was one of those nights last week when there were pretty bad storms in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But they had overfueled the plane. It really didn't have anything to do with the storms. They had overfueled the plane, so they had asked for some volunteers, and they paid $1,600 a person to get off the plane, which I'm an idiot.
She didn't take the money
off. No, because I was so desperate to get home. Well, they go ahead and take off after they burn off the fuel. We get to about, I don't know, Moline, and they realize that there's a tornado over KCI, so they turn us around.
You should have taken the six. When they give you $1,600, by the way, is it cash or is it like, is it voucher?
It's a voucher.
They give you a choice.
Oh, now they give you a choice?
Yeah. So it was $1,600 like credit on that airline that I won't name, or you could get a $1,200 Visa gift card.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to start only flying airlines that are overfueled.
Well, you don't know that when you book it.
I'm going to start researching it.
Okay.
Anyway, my only thought about this turkey situation is $70 isn't going to stop anybody from getting out of their seat.
I agree.
Hmm.
Well, Karen, it needs to be like 700.
We're glad you're safely back from Ireland.
And no voucher for you.
And Dana said you just got back from the vroom.
Oh, F1. Yeah. Miami Grand Prix. Buy your tickets now.
All right. Love you.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
All right. Be well. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I think I have an idea, and dare I say it's not even a radical idea. Because it turns out this Wichita, Kansas resident who is now in a lot of trouble with people like the Department of Justice and the FBI and other big places with three letters.
The guy lost his mind on the plane.
Yeah, he is 24 years old. It turns out that when he went Loon McLoon at 30,000 feet mm-hmm. and is alleged to have assaulted a flight attendant, this was not his first criminal transgression, okay? So it turns out he has prior criminal convictions, okay? At age 24.
For flight-related incidents?
I believe one of them is aggravated assault. Let me look. Here is my question. Do you have the right as a person just flying on an airplane trapped in a fuselage with, let's say, 200 other people, and then the right as an employee of the airline, as a flight attendant, to know that the person who happens to be seated in row 24B is a convicted felon? We talk about that stuff all the time. You know, when you're talking about schools and churches and public safety and all of that, in what more precarious position could you possibly be in than shoved into a fuselage with a crazy person who has previous convictions for ag assault?
Well, but think about any other enclosed place. And granted, there's
like an elevator.
There's a slight difference with a plane because
you can't defend yourself.
You can defend yourself. You just can't get out. You can't walk away necessarily from.
Well, but I can have Mace on an elevator, is what I'm saying. I'm not going to have Mace sitting next to the guy that is randomly seated next to me, by the way. I don't get to decide whether the person seated next to me is a pervert or a felon.
Well, but if they are a felon and they're on a plane, then you could infer that they have already served what society has deemed their penalty.
Well, society gets it wrong.
Well, and their probationary period after that.
I think the flight attendant should get to know that.
To what advantage?
You can't even put it on a job application in some states.
Huh. Yeah, but you don't have the right to fly. And you certainly want something like this happens. All the airlines should be sharing that. Well, like, not that he's going to get out, because this is federal charge. He's in trouble for a long time.
I agree that if you cause a ruckus on an airline, you should probably be banned for life, you know, based on what the ruckus is. If you know, somebody's being unreasonable, and I say, you know, and somebody tries to assault me or I'm just trying to defend myself, I don't know that you need to be banned necessarily for life. But if you've committed a crime on a flight that you end up getting criminally charged for and it's a felony, I would have no problem with you being banned for life from flying on certainly that airline and maybe any other American airline. However, I think you would be surprised if we start banning felons from flights, or people have to know that when I got on a flight, you know, when I was a kid, I hit somebody with a baseball bat in a fight, which would be aggravated battery, which is a felony in and of itself. I don't know that that's fair. And I'm not trying to be soft on felons.
I know,
anything, but
let me just throw this sentence out because it's toward the buried the lead here in this independent article. In March, a serial groper was banned for life from American Airlines.
I'm fine with that.
Following his third in-flight groping allegation aboard one of the carrier's airplanes.
That's fine. You clearly have a problem.
Well, that bothers me that he's banned for life from American. What if I'm on Delta? Hands him a weirdo.
Well, but then you would have to get the airlines to commit to sharing that sort of information.
But outside of a few select cases, people are allowed second chances, right?
No.
I would say yes.
Not this 55-year-old.
Well, obviously not the serial groper, but to Scott's point, I mean, there are many, many things that you can do to get a felony on your record that aren't violent, that aren't creepy.
I agree, like, with the ban, Sam. I'm not, except for the groper, he's banned. But I just think, like, with the 24-year-old who has a previous conviction for aggravated assault, could the flight attendants just not know when you have the manifest that the person who happens to be seated in 55C has a murder conviction? Just so you know.
Well, how do you avoid potential discrimination then?
You don't?
I think
what would you like to drink? Please don't stab me. Oh, I'll get you the full can, sir. Just put the knife away.
And I'll say this. I think you would be surprised how many people live not only in this country, but more specifically in this city, who have a felony record.
How do we let a 55-year-old on an airplane again after he's groped three women?
Was he convicted of the first three?
Let me look.
I mean, a conviction would make you a felon.
He's from Dallas.
And not paying your taxes in some instances, especially
let me clarify. Violent felony against a person. Aggravated assault.
Okay. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. I just go back to my point. I think we would all be surprised how many times a day, you pass somebody who has a felony on their record. And I would argue it's probably almost every day.
Now, I do know for a fact that all of these people that we're talking about will be more than welcome
on Jerk Air.
On Jerk Air.
Well, they get front row seats.
Of course. Of course.
Last
one,
first
off. Fly it if they want to.
Sure.
No experience? Hop in.
We'll let them do the baggage underneath. 913-586-7798. That's the number to call in. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, we have the Dana and Parks podcast. You can check that out at KMBZ.com. That's KMBZ.com. Felon.
Who, by the way, the governor of the state in which he was convicted of those felonies has since talked about pardoning him because he has to get permission to fly to every single tour stop.
Is that right?
He should be pardoned.
Huh.
But he has a lot of violent felonies.
Yes.
On his record.
When he was a teenager, widely documented. Can we go back just for a moment to this 55-year-old? Because I've done a deep dive. Oh my gosh. The serial groper.
Mm-hmm.
This show is off the chains
today. Let me just tell you, here's his play,
meds
ladies.
Meds are not being taken.
What he keeps saying every single time this happens is, I didn't mean to grope her breast. I was just reaching for my briefcase. Every single time he claims
he was reaching for his bags?
Reaching for the briefcase.
Really?
And the first time, like, the woman was like, at first I was like, wait, did that just happen? But you're so shoved into the airplane, right, next mm-hmm. to your seatmate. You know, some incidental, like, bump into me once, whatever. But not the full-on, you know, hand is coming over, reaching.
You don't have to demonstrate
what
groping
he was doing.
Looks like.
And then the FBI questions him.
Yeah.
And they said, have you ever been accused of doing anything like this before? And he goes, no, I have not. Three times, all three women reported it to American. That's why he is now banned. And those are just the three women we know about. And so I do a deep dive on this guy. He has a very unusual name. He's going to be like corporate guy, like corporate weirdo. His wife didn't want to comment when reached by the Independent, by the way, shocking.
Now, is this the guy from Wichita or is this another
this
guy?
This is another guy. This is the serial groper that's been banned from American
Airlines.
How
did you find out about him? Is this
new? It was linked in the story about the 24-year-old.
Got it. Okay.
They're like, you think this guy's bad? Let me tell you about this guy.
Okay. I understand now. I think
do you understand?
No, Sam, I don't. I'm just trying to keep things moving forward.
It happened in seat 20A the third time.
Did anybody press charges?
He did so under the guise of trying to reach his baggage, and the woman thought to herself at first, perhaps the physical touching was accidental. 5 minutes later, as his seatmate was watching an in-flight movie, she observed his hand moving underneath her arm and continuing upward.
Where is the bag?
That's horrible.
Is it in her armpit?
It's a horrible excuse. God. The bag is at your feet, bro.
Finally, she says, what the blank are you doing? He doesn't say anything and then reaches down underneath the seat and tries to grab his backpack. So when the flight attendant comes over, he goes, I don't know what she's talking about. I was just trying to grab my backpack.
Right.
But if you look at victim number one and two, all within several months,
okay,
it's the exact same play. What kind of weirdo, when you're shoved into an airplane, thinks, oh, look at me. Look, it's my lucky day.
I can't answer
that. In 20C, it's my lucky day because I'm sitting next to a 20-year-old. And then you think when the FBI questions you, and they say, have you, you know, this is interesting. You have a very unusual name. Have you ever been accused of anything like this before?
What's his name?
I'm not going to say it. But it's incredibly unusual. I've never heard the first name before. I'll tell you that. It doesn't exist. It's not like Scott or Sam. So when the FBI says to you, have you ever done this before? Do you honestly think they don't already know the answer to that question?
Probably. You never ask a question you don't know the answer to in law enforcement.
What is with the, and here's the other deal. I'm just telling you. 20-year-old Dana would have froze. I would have yelled. I would have been like, what are you doing? Because I think of my daughters, and you think, like, what do you teach your daughters, God forbid, if something like that happened? 50-year-old Dana, I would have jacked him in the face so hard that I would probably initially be facing assault charges until it all came out in the wash.
But in fairness, I'm not.
Because if I can't go anywhere in that tight fuselage,
no, I know.
Neither can he, right?
Well, to answer your first question, then I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I don't understand why someone is in row 20B or whatever and thinks, you know, this would be a good time to grab the breast of a woman sitting next to me that I've never met in my life until today. We've never even spoken. And the first sentence she's ever going to utter in my direction is, what the blank do you think you're doing?
Right.
I can't put my mind into that mindset. And so I can't give you an answer. My other question is, that guy who at the bar put his hand up your skirt, have you ever seen him again?
Oh, no, no. And he lost his job and was charged for that.
He was charged?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Victim okay, number two forward? Reported Abraham.
Well, everybody else is.
Having rubbed his arm against her side several times. See, that's how it starts. And she says, quote, initially I thought, like, maybe it was accidental. Shortly after, like,
Yeah, I get it.
Right?
Yeah, text line, I'm about to grope my radio dial if you don't change the subject.
I'm just saying, we have to learn. Let me just tell you. I'm telling you this as a mother. We have to change the mindset and talk to your daughters about this. Because I wish someone when I was in my 20s had told me this. That it's okay to listen to that voice. And when the little first incidental touch and you're going, okay, that was kind of weird. And then it happens again. Okay, then the arm comes over. We have to teach our girls to just take centuries of rage, hopefully with a large ring that you're wearing on your finger, and punch that man directly between the eyeballs.
Have we not? Have we not told them that?
I think for me, it never occurred to me until later that, quote, I wish I had done that. So you almost have to have the thought in your head that this is what I would do and then act on it if it happens because it happens so quick that then I would just remember thinking, why didn't I punch him? I'd give anything to go back and punch him.
Probably because you were in a mindset where you can't believe that this is actually
you're
happening.
So like, and think about it in a plane seat. So you're literally right next to somebody.
Yeah.
Of course your first thought, Scott, is, well, that had to have been an accident. It was a little weird. But anyway.
Okay. We have an official statement from the Kansas City Royals regarding the future of where they will be playing.
We have an official statement from the Royals.
That is true.
Just now
from the Royals, brought to you by Sam Mellinger.
Oh.
The Kansas City Royals continue to explore all options throughout our community to develop a new stadium for the team. We have not yet decided on a site, and any assertion to the contrary is inaccurate. Okay, thank you for covering your tracks. However, as part of our efforts, we have negotiated with and made investments into multiple potential sites.
Oh, here
it is. In both Kansas and Missouri. One of these investments was the acquisition by an affiliate of the Royals, not the team themselves, but we all know what that means. Purchasing the mortgage of the Asperia campus.
Which is the old
Sprint Center.
Bidding process.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're telling me the Royals have bought the Sprint Center campus?
The mortgage.
Well, that's the same thing. When I buy a house, I'm not really buying the house. You're assuming the mortgage.
It's an arm's length purchase.
Oh, please. That's not a very big arm.
Why can't...
It's a really arm's length thing.
And they've issued this statement because of a Twitter post within the hour from Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4, who basically said that exact same thing. And so now here comes the official statement. Why can't they just say it?
That we bought the mortgage. We're not making any decisions yet, but we need to be positioned in case we need to. Then what does someone arm's length away from the Royals do with the old Sprint Center campus if they don't build there? They just sell it?
So I guess. But why?
By the way, a massive company just signed a deal to move into that campus.
Who?
It was some tech firm.
Well,
within the last 6 weeks.
I have not, you know, I drive by it every once in a while. I don't take a good hard look at the old Sprint campus. Is there room for another tech company to have some property on that site and for there to be a Major League Baseball stadium with what would have to be a huge parking lot or garage?
If there wasn't, why would they at arm's length buy the property?
But who is buying this property, quote, at arm's length? To your question just a minute ago, you know, what are they, a friend of the owner?
Well, billionaires are funny
and,
like that.
And I'm going to, hey, here's what I'm going to do, team owner. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to buy that property.
Just in case.
Just in case you decide that you want to move down there.
Yeah.
And then if you end up negotiating something in downtown Kansas City, which was the word on the street yesterday.
Washington Square Park was the target there.
From the mayor that they were going to make quick work of maybe keeping the team in downtown Kansas City. So if they end up doing that and making, quote, quick work of the Washington Square Park site, what does your arm's length friend do with this gigantic piece of property that he's just assumed tens of millions of dollars on the mortgage?
So if you remember when the rumors first came out that they were going to Asperia, Bob Fesco took to the airwaves on 96.5 The Fan and shouted it from the rooftops that he was hearing from multiple different corners that they were going to Asperia. The team with Asperia immediately said, no, we're not. What are you talking about? We're not being bought out. So what's going on here and why they bought the mortgage, i.e. taking over the property, is this billionaire investor who is at arm's length with the Royals now has access to turn it into a baseball stadium if the Royals decide that is the route they want to go.
So it's a money grab.
If they decide not to, it's still a billionaire investor that owns a growing property.
I did ask Bob Fesco if he could call in at arm's length only.
I'm sure he will. Okay. I just, can we just get to this and quit playing around?
Amen.
I mean, there is, and I'm talking about the Chiefs and the Royals. They're
by the way, the massive tech company is
pick one and be done.
FinServe.
Okay. By the way, somebody says it would be impossible, Scott, for both the pharmaceutical company or tech company, whatever it is, and for the Royals baseball stadium to be located on that same property.
It would be an all or nothing.
What if we had a baseball stadium with the pharmaceutical company?
Boy.
I don't know, in left center?
Yeah.
That's going deep into left, and there goes 3 years of research.
And it hits Bob's desk. He's going to have to start over on those TPS reports.
Right. All right, telephone number here is 91. And I get that the teams, you know, want the states to kind of compete against each other and see who could offer the best deal to bring the team to this location or that location. I get it. But let's be done with this. Just tell us where you're going. It's mind-boggling. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, good question on the text line from 3401. Why has Kemper never been discussed? And I wrote back, do you mean the Kemper Arena site? And he wrote back, yes. Well, the answer is quite simple. Well, there's several answers to that. Number one, Kemper has been repurposed as a, I believe, youth indoor sports facility called Hy-Vee Arena. The West Bottoms, I think, for the most part, would be rather undesirable for a team like the Kansas City Royals. No offense to the West Bottoms, it's very lovely, but
and cumbersome.
It's also very difficult to get to the West Bottoms. And so I think
more so than other sites they're looking
right.
at.
There's no major highway that, you know, that pulls, well, I-35 to the east, but well, and I-70 to the north, I guess. But the main road in, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is 12th Street, and it's not very large. Or you can go in the south side, but I don't remember how to get in from the south side to that site. But the real answers are Hy-Vee Arena. The old Kemper Arena has already been repurposed and is in use, and I just don't think a professional sports franchise is going to want to move to the West Bottoms. Randy in Grandview. Randy, hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
The spring campus is intriguing. I worked on that when they were building it, and, I mean, that is a massive complex. You talked about parking. We built either 8 or 12 parking garages on site. So, I mean, they've already got a pretty good head start for, you know, a massive amount of parking. As I recall, it had, I want to say, 18,000 employees at its height, where that was the plan. Had its own zip code, had its own water plant. They were pretty much a self-contained city. But the last comment you made on traffic, that was a booger to get into. Even back then, you know, I'm sure they've made some upgrades now, but they've also grown in that area population-wise. So traffic would be the major nightmare on that one, as far as I can tell.
And that campus, if I'm not mistaken, Randy, is located between Roe and Knoll. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good-sized piece of property. I don't think they'd have any trouble fitting a decent-sized stadium in there. You know, parking and everything, but with the garages and everything, they can go vertical with that and still do a lot of parking.
Okay, hey, do appreciate it, Randy. Thank you for the call from the text line. Why not just move one stadium into Kansas, leave one in Missouri? If the
take
Royals,
everybody off.
If the Royals did end up going to Overland Park or Wyandotte County, which is certainly still an option, I would bet that's what the Chiefs would prefer. Because the original thought, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me, both of you, if I'm wrong, was for the Royals to leave the site, the Truman Sports Complex. They were going to build a new Arrowhead at the site of the current Kauffman Stadium. And then the Chiefs were going to turn the Truman Sports Complex area into a massive entertainment district.
Yeah,
parking lot and entertainment district.
NFL version of Baseball Village in St. Louis.
Right. And so I think, you know, if the Royals were to go down to OP or were to end up in Wyandotte County out by the Legends, you know, the Chiefs would want to stay, perhaps.
No text line. They won't become the Overland Park Royals.
Any more than it's the Arlington Cowboys down in Dallas.
The Anaheim Angels.
Right. Well, they once were the Anaheim Angels.
That's true.
Back in the day.
Go OPKC!
Or the New Jersey Giants and Jets. who do we? Can you imagine some fan up in Chicago going, "Who do we got tonight? We got the Overland Park Royals." It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue the way that.
No
you
offense
would think.
To Overland Park.
No, none offense. Absolutely not. I just this site down at the old Sprint campus site. I just struggle with how you're going to get that. You know, on an opening day, or you know, when the team's doing well, a lot of people want to go out on a Sunday afternoon. That's a lot of people for a campus, as Randy was mentioning just a minute ago, only had 18,000 employees.
Now
you want to put 45,000 people down there?
Obviously went to high school in the area, lived a lot of my life in the area. Knoll is an absolute disaster every single day.
Yep.
Without stadium traffic.
They would have to widen.
I mean, it would have to be 7 lanes wide each way.
A lot of people work down there.
It's already 4 lanes wide, and it's still a disaster.
You're right. I mean, keep this in mind. A lot of people work down there. A lot of people live down there.
Not just Knoll, 119th.
Yeah.
That entire corridor would be clogged.
Not to mention 135th as a feeder street.
Sure.
To get onto Knoll or Roe or however you would get to the stadium.
Into Bristol ever again.
I'm telling you.
That's a great point. And the businesses, when this idea originally popped up, the news outlets were going out and talking to business owners, and they were like, I think it's a great opportunity. And I'm like, nobody's going to wait in stadium traffic to come eat at your fine establishment.
I mean, when the Royals play a game at 7 o'clock at night, and half the people are trying to get to the stadium. The other half of the people are trying to get home from work. I mean, good.
Some of our favorite restaurants are right there.
Yep.
The Bristol is right there.
God, I love those biscuits.
Those are good biscuits, aren't they?
Oh, man. You know they come around with those little
Aquapenny
tongs.
So good.
And you know you want to say no, but you just can't. You're like, yeah, I'll have another one. Not even embarrassed. Well,
your brain says no, but your gut says yes. That's exactly right. Well, it does. Anyway, maybe we'll get more clarity tomorrow. Maybe grab Bob Fesco, and he seems to be him and Jonathan Kett seem to be the ones who are on top of this story.
Oh, that's right. Text line, the Santa Clara 49ers.
Oh no, a third of the NFL teams do not play in the city that they're named after. A third.
I also agree with you, Texter 5512. Mission Gateway Project.
Oh yeah.
New stadium, baby.
It's too small.
Look, they hit a home run again, and there goes Marge trying to get home from work.
Every fly ball would be a home run if you put it. There's no room at the Mission Gateway.
I'm still ticked off. They ran the Wendy's out. In what world does a Wendy's shut down anywhere under any circumstance except under the umbrella of the turd that is at Mission Gateway? I used to stop there all the time and get an iced tea or Diet Coke before I came to work.
Did I tell you when you were not feeling well, I drove out there. The other day was either Thursday. I think it was Friday.
It looks like Chernobyl.
It's worse than the pictures. When you see it in person, it's worse than the pictures you showed me news report.
Certainly the bowling alley closing down did not help the Wendy's either.
What are you talking about?
But it's now a big now expensive condos, Sam.
Gorgeous condos over there now. The Lanes.
The Lanes. That's kind of a cool name. Come on.
Today is National Hamburger Day.
It's better than living in the gutter.
Do you know worldwide McDonald's sells seven... I see what you did there. Worldwide, McDonald's sells 75 hamburgers every second. Worldwide.
75?
75 hamburgers every second.
No.
Worldwide, yes.
It's more than that.
I don't think so. This is what the story says.
75 a second? That would be in Kansas City.
And heart doctors just cheered.
We got to run. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.